Hey guys, it's Alex. Cutting in here before the episode gets going. I messed up my audio. I had my mic turned up way too high and it distorted everything. You'll hear it. I edited it to the best of my abilities. I used to edit things for a living, and this is the best I could do. I'm sorry. I hope it works and I hope it sounds good enough. I promise it won't happen again. Thanks for listening.
I was so dumb, but I hopped on a plane, almost drove right back to the 541.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Alex at TSB Pod. He's Ski at TSB Ski. He's King at Jeromney. Our movie for this Sunday's podcast is The Northman. If you have not seen The Northman yet, it is available on Amazon Prime. It is the Robert Eggers Viking movie. So check it out. Listen to us talk about it. Let's start with Oregon, like right away, because that was
before we get into that. Okay, let's just carry over what the helmet talk you were talking about.
Okay, yeah. So, listener, before we started, I was just talking about the because Washington State is playing Utah right now as we're recording this. It's in the first quarter. The Washington State helmets are atrocious. They say Wazoo on them in a horrible logo. They look terrible. Okay.
Yes, I agree. Background. But again, Utah, again, with the helmets of players that have been dead for like a year and a half.
I know. Like the USC game, so it's weird because you don't want to bring it up because it's like you don't want to say it's
enough. Weird.
You don't want to say that. But like, again, like they did their mourning. Season
they've done it like four times,
yeah, but like the entire last season was dedicated to them. You cannot bring that into the next season.
There
is a limit, right?
Yes. I find it when they did against USC 2 weeks ago, I was like, okay, enough, but this is the last time. And then they do it at Washington State again. Trauma fetish. It's weird.
It is weird.
Like
it is weird.
Rest in peace, Spencer Webb. They're not doing a Spencer Webb helmet in the 2023 season. Like it's.
And by the way, they haven't talked about Spencer Webb in a couple of weeks.
No, like, they do the little sticker on the back, yeah, and the 4 yard line is painted yellow at every stadium they play at. It's a very good tribute.
Yeah, the flowers on the field from the opposing
flowers
team,
on the field. Great. There's a little, you know, even at the UCLA game, there was a little, you know, a 20-second like video clip intertwined into other clips. Yes, that's appropriate. Utah, and I'm not even like trying to speak ill of the dead. It's just like at a certain point, it loses. It's like how now we can make fun of 9/11 because we were so corny about it after a while. At a certain point, just let it go.
Yeah, like we're not gonna make fun of this situation.
No,
I know.
No,
I know exactly
no, no,
what
no.
You're saying though. No. At some point, it loses the effectiveness. Like what you're trying to go towards. Like what they're going for is honoring the kids and honoring the family and all of that stuff. And they already spent an entire season doing that, and everybody was involved in it. Like the other teams were involved. They were doing like the moments of silence. They were doing the cheers, like whatever Utah wanted, like everybody was involved and it was great, but you cannot bring that into the next season. It's not something you can do because the people involved aren't there anymore. Like it's college. Like the kids are gone now. Like a good majority of the team graduated and moved on. Like it's, and there are a whole bunch of new kids there who never knew them at all, that don't know who they are. It's weird. It is weird. And I don't feel right. And I don't necessarily feel right saying it, but it is weird.
No, well, it's uncomfortable, but it's just odd.
Yeah.
Like when I
I'm going to say something
on,
bad here too,
like,
but were the guys that died, were they good?
Yes. I think
yes.
one
yeah.
was legitimately good, and one was a true freshman who like came on the last like 6 weeks of the season or something.
Yeah. All right.
Maybe, but yes, they were both good.
That might help a little good, but you know, you hate to say it, but like fifth string long snapper, I don't think's getting, you know, a year and a half of
tribute. Here's the thing. And the pandemic interrupted it a little bit, right? The 2019-2020 season, the unspeakable tragic death of Kobe Bryant happened, right?
Right.
The Lakers had their big thing. That first game back, it was off. You know, I mean, it was a beautiful tribute. And, you know, going forward that year, they had the patches. They wore the Black Mamba jerseys. LeBron wore the, you know, the number 24, like, finger thing. And then 2020-21 season came up. And they stopped doing it.
Yeah, it's done.
And that's not a slight on Kobe or anyone who died in that tragic accident.
Because it's inappropriate to do it beyond
that. At a certain point, it's exploitative. To me, I think what they're doing is Utah is – it's just weird. Now, and we need to move off it because I don't want to – I'm not trying to speak ill of the dead. But I've had this conversation multiple times now over the span of two seasons where I'm like, oh – another tribute, another helmet, another.
Then what's your take on Pat Tillman then? Because he gets tributes, it seems like, at least every year.
Is legitimately exploitative.
It is. But it's ASU, you know, I get it. But also, he was killed by friendly fire in a shitty war that the government tried to cover up. So, I mean,
that his mom is very outspoken against, by the way.
Yes. You know, and when Arizona State, like a few years ago, I think it was the Vernon Adams year, and their Pat Tillman tribute game was they just wore 90s throwbacks.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm fine with that.
But some of it, perfect. Yes, to your point, some of that is even a little much now. It's like these guys who are the quarterback for ASU, he wasn't alive
when Pat Tillman was killed.
Certainly, and some of these things you can always keep up
before, like the Marshall plane crash. You know, when in the 70s, yeah, they bring that up. Okay, I got it, but it's understated at this point. Utah is just very aggressive with it. But again, how about those Ducks?
I feel like exploitative is kind of the right word. It kind of feels gross. Okay, yes, Ducks. Fair enough. 45-30 win over UCLA. And so the score, it's a 15-point win, but it was not close. Oregon thoroughly dominated UCLA. And it was another game where... So it was weird. You know, everybody had this take watching the game and after the game. It was Dan Lanning and Kenny Dillingham doing Chip Kelly to Chip Kelly. You know? Are we okay with the big dick Dan? Are we okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay, so I mean,
you talking about his on-field moves or the fact that he has a legitimate?
Are we talking about
salmon in his pants?
Ill-fitting pants that cannot possibly contain his hog. No, that's not what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
Going forward on fourth down in your own territory again, like that drive
twice.
Exactly. That drive where they did that was exactly like the BYU drive. It was the same. They're running the ball. They quarterback sneak on fourth and one. Yeah. Quarterback sneak on fourth and one. Every single time, gonna get it. And then the other one where he's in shotgun and does the read option run. Wow. Wow.
I mentioned this on Twitter. And
you better get it.
And weirdly got a few people mad at me. I just said every situational gamble that Dan Lanning has taken this year. Literally every single one. There were none against Georgia. Every single one has worked. Like even, you know, the onside kick in the first, second quarter, whatever. That's like a big one. Okay. But even like that throw to Franklin, that was a touchdown to end the second quarter. It's college football. And the Ducks are good. I get it. But there's a lot of college football receivers that run that route to like the one and get tackled and that 5 seconds runs off. Every single one has worked. And I don't think he's called anything that's been like outrageously dumb. He's not Brandon Staley, where at his 19 in a game where you have to tie to go to the playoffs, he's going for it up 10 on 4th and 4, whatever he did last year.
But analytics.
So he's not doing anything super crazy, just nothing. Every single time he's done it, it's worked. It's wild.
Well, they have kept it simple with it. Like you said, all the 4th and 1s, you know, Staley's having some read, like, you know, double paths, you know. It's just, all right, Bo Nix is a big quarterback. Get him under center. He will plow ahead for half a yard to get it.
And
it's,
you know,
it's
and you
not
know
hard.
His center is playing in his 9th year of college football, you know? Like, get behind the 9th year center who's really good and follow him. Quarterback sneak, it's a Tom Brady, it's a Jimmy Garoppolo, it's a fucking Bo Nix. You know what? Because it works every single fucking time if your quarterback and your center know what they're doing. And those two know what they're doing. Like, I love that, like, Brock Huer talked about that during the game, too, because they literally talked to Dillingham and Nix about that play. And they're like, we sucked at it during training camp. We were really bad. But then you just work on it. You work on it. You work on it. You get good at it. And the quarterback sneak, if you do it right, is automatic. It's literally automatic. You are going to get a yard. Like, at least, you know, like, anything more than a yard is sort of a reach, but you will get 1 yard every single time if your center is not garbage and your quarterback knows what he's doing. Bo Nix, like, you know, speak to your, like, decision-making on the risks and stuff like that. I was going to say that about Nix, too. Like, since the Georgia game, he has not made a bad decision. I guess other than the pick
the
six.
Pass.
The
yeah.
pick six.
Which, as we talked about, there was video where that should have been a rub route, and I forget the receiver. He just...
And again, it was Dillingham calling the horrible, again, like running back in the flat route 2 plays in a row, too. So yeah, it is what it is.
I did notice you brought up that that Dillingham has been known to do this. If a play works, he'll run that play, the same exact play.
Yeah, Chip did that,
watching the game yesterday on Saturday, I think he did that 3 times with run plays. They got 7 yards, just get to the line, ran the same play to the same side, same hole, everything.
Yeah.
So you can't fully fault it.
I love that sequence where it was Whittington and Dollars in the backfield at the same time. And they ran one play. It worked for like 12 yards with Whittington. And then they flipped them. And they ran the same play with the other guy lead blocking for the other guy and got another first down. It's like, again. So back to Nix, by the way. It's just watch the highlights. Like, just watch the games. Everything he does is the right move. I keep waiting for the other, you know, shoe to drop. You know, like, because I think, like, Dennis Dodd wrote an article this week about Nix, and he was like, you know, he mentioned bad Bo Nix. It's like, when is bad Bo going to show up? And, like, again, like, every decision he makes is great. Like, where he gets people lined up, the throws he makes, like, when he decides to run, when he runs to the outside and still keeps his eyes down the field and throws it to a guy who's open, it's like, when is he going to fuck up? I keep waiting. He has to fuck up, right?
Does this not feel like when Herbert and Mariota, like, their best year?
Like, are we like getting when he's set up?
That's kind of what, like, when he's rolling out of the pocket, I'm expecting him to hit someone in stride 20 yards, like, on a slant. I mean, was there anything you guys could fault the offense for against UCLA?
Not at all. Like, and by the way, the offensive line is not talked about enough. Like, they are so good. Like, Oregon's getting 9 yards on first down, and all they're doing is running up the middle. And, you know, they have, you know, their off tackle plays where Dillingham, you know, sets them up well with how he gets people aligned in the motions and the shifts and stuff like that. But still, like, the offensive line is just dominating everybody they're playing against. It's, you know, like, I don't know who's left on the schedule who's going to have a defense that can Oregon State.
I'm glad you brought this up because so no Pac-12 team
Pac-10 12 team has run the conference schedule since Oregon did in 2010, right? And then the league expanded to the Pac-12 the next year in 11. So, you know, we're talking like 12 full seasons, 11 if you count Utah and Colorado's additions.
And Oregon now the only win or undefeated team in the conference play this year. So they're
and
the
so
only
it's weird because situationally you look at every game and you go, well, that team doesn't have the front to stop Oregon. Or like with Cal, that team doesn't have an offense. It's college. Anything can happen. Injuries can happen. God, I get it. It's hard for me to – I look at every game on the schedule. Even – let's just say they play 11-1 USC in Vegas, right? SC would score on Oregon. No question.
Oh, yeah.
No question. What they're really good on offense at, Oregon is bad at defending. But what USC is really bad at defense at, Oregon is absolutely elite at. And they would run it down their throat eventually. And so I'm not going to sit here and predict a 12-1 Oregon going into a bowl season. Cause that sounds asinine, right?
It does.
But if you look again, at every game individually, yes, Oregon State, their defense is good. No, their defense is legitimately good. Oregon State's.
They are.
Offense is bad.
Atrocious.
They should have lost to Stanford 2 weeks ago. It was a lucky play. Good for them. They made it. But I'm not going to sit here and predict Oregon finishes the regular season 11-1. I just can't. I can't pick the loss.
That's why I brought it up. I am just a by nature apprehensive Oregon follower. Like I do not believe it until I see it. Like if Oregon's going to go 12-1 or whatever, I need to see them go 12-1 before I'm going to believe it's going to happen. You know what I mean? Like it already has to have happened for me to believe it's going to happen. I'm at the point right now watching Oregon and the way they play where I'm like, I cannot imagine a team beating them. Like I can't. Like,
and the odds say someone will.
Yes. No, exactly. Yeah. Like Washington has a really, really good offense. They're going to score a whole bunch of points against Oregon. And if if Bo Nix finally has an off day, even where he only throws two touchdowns, let's say, Oregon might lose that game.
They could.
It's possible. But I can't see it happening. Like,
run for 240.
I'm to the point where it's like, is Bo Nix finally going to play like Bo Nix today? No, he's not. He's going to go out there against an undefeated team and throw five fucking touchdowns. He's 72% completion percentage on the whole season. That includes Georgia.
He had his pain. And no one is sitting here saying UCLA was, you know, ranked number 9 because of their defense. We're not saying that.
Of course.
But he had 5 touchdowns and 5 incompletions.
Easy.
Like just it's easy. Their offense is ruthlessly efficient. It's just
plus another 50 rushing again.
And every play is positive yards. Every play puts them on the good side of the sticks. It's like even
if they get a third down, it's third and short almost every time.
By the way, you finally force them to fourth down. They're 12 of 13 this year.
Crazy.
Converting fourth down. You've never in your life. Okay, there are better teams than Oregon on fourth down this year. You will never in your life see a better fourth down Oregon team than this one. Ever. In your whole life. You might be 10 years old right now listening to this podcast. You shouldn't be listening to this podcast. But 80 years down the road, you're an old 90-year-old man. You still will not have seen a better fourth down team than this Oregon team this year. It's amazing.
Is this the best Duck offense since Chip? Most efficient?
Most efficient, I mean, for sure.
Yeah.
The only one I would put up with it, well, I mean, since Chip, I mean, Mariota won a Heisman under Helfrich.
Vernon Adams?
But
post-Mariota, that 2015 team with Vernon Adams.
Yeah.
Is the only one, and they were completely different because Vernon Adams was just making crazy. I mean, that was
gunslinging,
Adams sent
just everything.
It was Adams to Carrington and Royce Freeman.
Yeah.
This one is just it's so well designed. And I went to the game on Saturday, and it was my work, you know, tailgater thing. And
Dillingham's playing chess, buddy.
Right. And so because of where, you know, it's a work thing. See, we're not sitting at the 10 yard line. We were high enough up to not like we were in the booth or anything, but we're high enough up where you could see plays develop. And it's just the plays were just smart and easy. It just looked like so
easy.
Like, that's so like good. The last, you know, two football seasons we've been doing this podcast, we harped on the Mario stuff for just not having layups. It's college football. The hashes are wide. There are layups to be had. And when you have layups, it you know, you just build off it. They just have layups and they have explosive plays off it.
That's but it's, the new thing. That's the new now. Thing.
But there's just so many plays where it's like, okay, a throw to, you know, Winnington for four, Irving for five up the middle. Like they're just boring plays, but you stack those on top of each other. Just easy college football plays. And then you just get the four or five big ones a game. You score 45 with ease.
Would you say almost all their touchdowns were easy too?
Yes.
And I mean, the two tight end touchdowns were wide open, like just designed well. Bucky wheel route.
No, that's what I was going to say. Like all of the touchdowns are right what King was saying. They're like, they're so simple, well-designed, put the defense out of position, Bo Nix, it's very easy. It's like, if it's there, you throw it. If it's not there, you look somewhere else or you run. And he doesn't make the wrong decision. And so you get the defense out of position with your motion, with your shifting, which by the way, like as shifting is like one of the more like unheralded genius things that offenses can do just to get defenses out of position, even just a little bit, especially in college.
Like if you have a smart quarterback and offensive line, because then you could read how you want to scheme it off that.
Exactly. So and you know exactly what the offensive line is what you're looking. You know exactly what you want the defense to do when you shift. And if they do it, you see it right away and you know exactly what's going to be there. And so Dillingham uses that so well and it puts the defense out of position. Nick sees it right away and he just hits it. And so like the Bucky touchdown pass I was going to like bring up anyways, just because it was like, it was so I believe that was a fourth down play too, wasn't it? I think it was.
Was it?
But anyway, it's Bucky on a wheel route. You know, it's real simple. You get a linebacker matched up on him. You make the linebacker look at the wide receiver who came across his face, and you get Bucky right along the sideline. Easy.
Yeah, like the Bucky touchdown, and I think it's the Montevideo touchdown. They score a lot of them. They kind of blend together.
Yeah, right.
Those were Chip Kelly plays.
Yeah.
Like where you watch the replay, and you're like, how did the linebacker not – where was the safety? These are so simple. Like it's just a guy running free in space. He just ran 4 yards to the left to begin the play. It was like the Darren Carrington, like Keenan Lowe touchdown against Florida State in the Rose Bowl, where he's like, how does he keep getting open? He's not doing anything amazing.
Why are they guarding him? They're supposed to be good.
Hey, I will say that about the Ducks defense. I said that a lot. I was like, how is this guy in the flat so open? No one's within 10 yards of him.
We're not talking about the defense yet.
I know,
yet.
But you could say that for, you know, like we're scheming that. Other teams are either scheming it against us or we're scheming ourselves out of
it. Scheme yourself out of it, right? No.
Yeah.
And so just before we get to the defense, because we should talk about them, like you mentioned Chip and the play where the touchdown run up the middle,
the unnecessary motion at the goal.
Oh my God. Where you have the wide spread out, you got linemen all over the place. And then you shift them back in I formation, handoff up the middle, touchdown run.
just that was, they out chipped chip. They just did. Yeah. It was that play. When that play happened, I was like, okay, like not only is Oregon going to win, but like they're just kind of playing with their food at this point.
It's
like
about to get embarrassing for somebody.
They're not getting stopped. What was it? Oregon scored on their first six possessions, or
no? They kicked a field. Oh, yeah, they kicked a field goal the first possession, then scored touchdowns on five straight.
crazy.
Cam Lewis still perfect on the season, by the way. Moving on.
Ooh, that one was shaky, though.
That one was shaky.
44-yard field goal.
That one got a late gust of wind that pushed that thing to go in.
God. Do you think that was a conversation before the game? Because some of the things they did were very clearly Chip Kelly things that he did when he was here. Like very odd, like running the same plays, like that Oregon hadn't done yet this season. Because the shift is something they have not shown. Like the big goal line thing, that's brand new. The onside kick thing is a Chip move, by the way. Stealing a possession, going for it on fourth down. I mean, they've been doing that all year, but I'm just saying. Running the same play back to back to back to back. Just saying.
While we're still in the offense, was this the best game for a wide receiver you guys have seen in a long time out of Franklin?
The only one I could think of off the top of my head, and I'm probably wrong, someone could look this up, was, oh my gosh, I'm forgetting his name. He left too early. He was drafted by the Vikings and flamed out. Dylan Mitchell against UCLA in 2018. That's the only other game. And I could be totally wrong. He may have only had two catches for 100 yards and two touchdowns, but I just remember him getting past UCLA guys twice for big, big gains.
We're definitely forgetting something for sure.
Oh, I'm sure.
Like Carrington against Florida State was pretty good.
That was
a little while ago.
Franklin's was, you know, every time he needed a big catch, it was going his way.
He's good.
And he's coming down with it.
He's legitimately big time. Like, I'm not saying he's going to win, you know, awards or any Biletnikoff this year or anything, but he's a five-star for a reason.
He is kind of the only, like, highlight receiver. Everyone else is, I would call them, you know, classic possession receivers.
I'll say
Coda's a possession receiver.
But that's fine in college.
I love Coda.
Perfectly fine in college.
So Franklin is legitimately, relatively a superstar. So relative to Oregon wide receivers.
He's an elite Oregon wide receiver.
Absolutely.
Yes. He's a rarefied air for the receiving corps in the last 15 years.
The catches he makes are ridiculous. Like they're not plays we're used to seeing at this school. The deep ball. I feel like Heward was gonna literally jizz his pants. Like the not even just Heward either. Like the play by play guy. Like, oh,
it
was so good. It was good.
Looking at the stats in here too, the running backs, they didn't have any like big explosive plays. They just got 8 to 13 yards
every single play. Offensive line, guys.
Which is crazy because I think it was Joel Klatt. Joel Klatt. Greg McElroy and Brock Heward all blend in when I see their clips. I think it's white guys with blondish buzz cuts. It's
the same guy.
Same guy.
By the way, did you see the new Heisel kid on the sideline for UCLA?
I did.
He's got to be like a GA, right?
No, he's a wide receiver coach.
He's a coach.
Coach. Full-on coach.
Just graduated college,
full-on
man.
Full-on coach.
Yeah. Good for him.
But he was talking about how impressive the Oregon offensive line is, blah, blah, blah. And how you really got to thank the big time recruiting of Mario Cristobal. And I'm like, was Ryan Walk and Alex? They weren't exactly Panay Sewell. Like, Ryan Walk was like a walk on from Tiger. I know that's not where he was from, but
no.
Sheldon or something.
Ryan Walk went to Sheldon. Yeah.
Sheldon. Right. Yeah. I was like, he was not a big deal.
How many of the starting 11 offensive guys are Cristobal guys?
The only reason Walk went to Oregon is because Herbert went here. Like he was Herbert center at Sheldon. So
was he really?
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah.
I mean, neither running back, neither quarterback. Coda, no.
Oh,
Franklin.
No, so many transfers. Yeah. No, the transfers make up a large majority of like the guys who get the ball a lot.
Yes, you know, skill players. It's yeah.
Yeah.
But the line, the line is, you know, other than Connerly, who plays sparingly, but he's a true freshman.
Harper?
I think Harper was a Cristobal guy.
Yeah, and no one has ever, well, we have never criticized Cristobal offensive line coaching ability. That was never his problem, really.
Should we start?
No, but, you know, we will knock his offensive game plan, you know, to hell. But the one thing he did well was he recruited offensive linemen well, and he coached them up well.
Oh God, who was so it? There was someone last year.
Apparently, Clem is a better offensive line coach because they're playing much better this year. So
They are. Mm. I will say the only offensive line quibble with Mario I had was they false started a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. God, and I think they're still doing it again in Miami. I think they get penalized a ton. But I would say maybe it's a little easier to play when your offense is a little more dynamic and not the same three plays over and over. A little easier to block.
By the way, I have a very fun Miami Hurricanes stat when we get to that point.
They got like 2 wins this year, and they just got a 5-star corner to commit. That is
the number one in the nation.
Peak Mario Cristobal, by the way.
Hey, man. Yeah.
Peak. All right, let's talk about the defense. I know you want to talk about the defense.
My thing with the defense, and Ski's going to belabor this fact, touchdown.
I called it, by the way.
That touchdown to make it 10-10. Duck fans are making excuses for Flo. Oh, that's just Chip Kelly getting him lost in the wash.
No.
Justin Flo, my God, man. Like, can you just be disciplined like once?
There was no wash, by the way.
There wasn't. Not at all. And even like his jump to try and catch the guy, he wasn't going to do it. It was just emblematic of how he plays, where it was just so out of control. I was afraid he was going to break his ribs when he landed. He's just. I'm not afloat. I'm out of
flow. You guys remember the 1 year Coach Cottrell was at South? Do you remember that guy at all?
I do.
Okay. He used to say what I did in my junior year was diving out of windows. So that's when you're chasing and you just jump. You have no goal. There's no rhyme or reason to what you're doing. You just leave your feet and try to hit something hard. Hopefully you do it. That's Justin Flo. Justin Flo jumps out of windows every single play. He tries to hit the guy the hardest he possibly can. Doesn't wrap up. Has no like form tackling skills of any kind, and just misses guys. He misses tackles all the time, you guys.
Like, Charbonnet bodying him on that screen pass in like the first quarter. Ugh. Dude, go for his leg. Charbonnet's huge.
Who do you think you are, Flo?
Like, Charbonnet outweighs you.
By the way, look in the mirror. Like, I know you're like this ripped guy. You're fucking like 5'8". 175 looking compared to Charbonnet.
No, and Flo came into the year saying how he lost like 25, 30 pounds.
He's small.
Because of injuries and trying to not get injured lower body again. This is the smallest he's been since he stepped on the Oregon campus.
Is Bassa bigger than him? The same?
Probably more well put together.
Okay.
But still undersized.
Like, man, and by the way, to be undersized and to be slow is not a good combination. he got like
amen.
Just saying.
I mean,
so again, that play happened, and then Sewell getting beat in coverage for a touchdown later against Bobo. Like, you know, it's
Bobo's good.
Sewell made a couple of good plays. Like the Addison interception was caused by Sewell. Like, Sewell's job most of the game was to spy DTR, and I think he did a really good job. What I mentioned last week, you know, I was concerned, certainly, that linebackers are going to get caught in coverage like they were, but that DTR was going to be able to just sort of, you know, escape, make plays on the run, like, you know, get guys open because he's escaping. And, you know, obviously they thought about that and were like, Sewell, 5-star linebacker, chase him around. And he did. He did a pretty good job. Well, but he also sucks in coverage still.
Yeah. For the first half, Chip had a great game plan against Ducks. It was just attack him side to side.
Yeah.
Attack the linebacker side to side in the flat. Just, you know, nickel and do what kind of Georgia did. Nickel and dime us for 8 to 15 yard passes, either dead in the middle or swing it out wide with the linebackers. And they moved the ball well. It was very problematic there for a while. But this team does kind of have that Alioti bend but don't break style to them a little bit.
They make enough plays. You know, yes. Like they're in, they do that. Like you said, they do a good job of keeping teams out of the end zone, which is nice. You know,
they have just enough good players in the secondary too.
They do. And you know,
fight it off.
I feel like some of the younger guys are actually starting to play better as the season goes on. Like that was sort of the shame about Manning getting ejected against Arizona is because he was having a really good game up until that point. And you know what? He had a pretty good game against UCLA too. Like you didn't talk about him, but I did notice he was playing most of the game. And so that's always good. I don't know.
We'll say defensive line,
see, right?
Yeah. I will say defensive line didn't get much pressure.
They're just not getting pressure this year. It is what it
they're
is.
Not. Yeah.
They're like legitimately like bad at it.
And it's such a cute, if you could get pressure, if you're just rushing four, I mean, that, why do you think Georgia was so good last year? They didn't have to blitz anyone if they didn't want to, and they would still get pressure. And then, oh, you just have
points.
Yeah. And then, oh, you just have like three first rounders in the back end there. It's like, that helps too.
You know who Cam Rising reminds me of?
The mask from that movie, V from Vendetta or whatever.
He does look like that. I was going to say the Robin Hood Men in Tights, Will Scarlet. Remember?
Yes, absolutely.
He looks exactly like that guy.
Yes, he's just a musketeer. That's what he looks like.
He is
Cam
a musketeer.
Rising is a musketeer.
He's Mercutio. Wait, is that Romeo and Juliet? I might be mixing that.
Yes,
up.
That is. Yeah, okay. That is. Are you a Capulet or a Montague?
I'm so well versed on Shakespeare, you know.
Billy Shakes.
I'm mixing up with everything. Yeah, old Bill Shakespeare over here. all right, we should before we get to all of our things, because we have, you know, list, trivia, lines.
Fantasy football update.
On that note, we should probably mention the Chiefs and the 49ers. Like maybe just once. It was not good from my perspective.
No, it wasn't. But I don't, you know, I'm not I'd love to take like a victory lap on it. But I think if they played again, this Sunday, and the 49ers won, I wouldn't be shocked.
Right.
The Chiefs are just about every like two or three games, they're just going to do that where Juju and Hardman each have like one enormously big, huge play that complements Kelce having his 100 yards. And it makes it hard for the team, their opponent in the mid third quarter. Cause like, well, we can't stop them. So we're going to get out of our game plan. Like the Niners ran the ball like 15 times. You know what I mean? If they played again on Sunday.
Yeah. Like McCaffrey had like two runs early on. They were like 9 yards and 11 yards. And then everything else was throwing the ball because they had to throw the ball.
By the way,
if you're trying to, Jimmy Garoppolo is not going to win a shootout. Like it's
not. No, he's not.
If you're in that position, you're sort of screwed. By the way, coming out of that game, we've talked about the 49ers injuries already a bunch. Debo did not practice today. Today is Thursday. Usually, if you don't practice Thursday, you're not playing in the game on Sunday.
You better practice Friday. That's
Juwan Jennings, their other, like, you know, he's the third down wide receiver. He didn't practice today either. So I hope McCaffrey's like ready to get the ball a whole bunch, because he is a whole bunch.
Feed old Ayuk.
Yeah, they really should, by the way, because he is really good. Like, when they get him the ball, he's sort of beasting people this year. They just don't really give him the ball that much. Too many guys to get the ball, and Jimmy Garoppolo to get it to him. It is what it is.
Would you rather have Jimmy Garoppolo as your quarterback or Sam Ellinger as your QB?
Hey, the Colts benched a quarterback who beat the Chiefs like a month ago.
They did.
By putting up like 16 points.
Oh, football.
I think Matt yes, Matt Ryan was averaging his most pass attempts per game this season for the Colts. I don't think he signed up for that.
No.
It's like, you got Jonathan Taylor and supposedly a good offensive line.
And a good defense.
I throw the ball 20 times a game. Nope, I'm throwing it 34 times a game.
By the way, throwing the ball 34 times and getting like 150 yards.
And getting just murdered.
Destroyed every time you throw it.
What I don't get about the Colts thing is, like, Nick Foles was their number two, right?
Yes.
Has Ellinger just been tearing it up in practice?
He can move. That's it. Foles can't really move. I said it a couple weeks ago, this offensive line cannot hold a block for half a second. You have to have a mobile quarterback right now.
They did block really good in one game against the Chiefs.
The
Chiefs are going to have like more sacks by like week 9 this year than they had all last year. And they kept Matt Ryan pretty clean for the most part.
Yeah.
We're talking about backup quarterbacks. That's one of the silver linings of the Niners Chiefs game, by the way, is that Brock Purdy came in for a good portion of the fourth quarter and threw an interception. If he didn't throw an interception, I've seen this exact scenario with 49er fans before with Nick Mullins. It's like, Nick Mullins needs to replace Jimmy Garoppolo. He's the future, the best quarterback we've ever seen. CJ Beathard. He's a tall.
CJ Beathard. Yeah.
Oh, Beathard.
Look at him. Oh, Beathard. Oh,
don't give Niner fans the open door to replace Jimmy Garoppolo. They will do it like that.
I did.
Doesn't matter if it's Mr. Irrelevant or not.
I did see a nice little George Kittle mic'd up video today.
Yeah,
he's a funny guy.
He is. He's a weirdo, man.
Like, there was a clip where he, you know, totally jokingly, like, bumped into
Clark?
Chris Jones.
Okay.
And Chris Jones, like, what, who? He's like, I'll just fuck with you. And then he totally pancakes Chris Jones. And literally, while Chris Jones is falling, he's like, ah, lineman tripped my feet. And Kittle's like, nah, dog, I just got you. Like, I feel you, though.
Pancaked you, bud.
Yeah. Oh, and he totally did.
Kittle very good at blocking. That's why he's a blocking tight end this year.
That's why. That's exactly there was, why.
There was a play where he's a decoy running towards the goal line, and he's a total decoy, and he just fakes a jump, and the rookie Watson for the Chiefs jumps, and Kittle just lost his shit laughing. Like, I got you, man. I got you.
Yeah. I'm glad he's on my team. He's great. Really good player. Really fun guy. Good teammate.
Speaking of the Chiefs, before we move on to stuff people really care about.
Yeah.
Kadarius Toney.
Yeah. Chief. You excited?
He never plays.
No.
He's fast.
I mean, that's really, from an outsider perspective, that was such a weird trade to see. It's like you gave up two draft picks for him, like a third rounder too. Like,
yeah.
Why?
Well, they still have 11 picks in the draft this year. Fair. So. It's a numbers game.
I'm talking as a fan of a team who has like two.
Well, no, because when I saw the trade, I was like, I mean, I guess it's a risk, and they're not going all the way in. And you know, and the reports are now that OBJ won't be even close to playing until you know into December. So I was like, okay,
yeah. You still want that fantasy trade, by the way?
No.
Okay, make me an offer.
but then I was like, I saw something like, yeah, it looks like a weird trade, but they still have 11 picks. And I was like, okay, they're never going to keep 13 rookies. They're not keeping 11 rookies,
no.
You know, so.
No, but what do you guys need another middling wide receiver for?
Well, he's fast.
You already got three of them.
Fast. But
so is Hardman.
Fast. Yeah.
They're all the same guy.
Is it? Yeah, that Scantling, Juju.
Scantling. Like I said. Man, Scantling looked good. Scantling looked good.
Is he the one who beat Ward on the deep route? Fuck me. $35 million for that jackass. He gets beat by that guy.
God. Yes. It won't happen for another month, but when MVS beats someone deep, I don't know what's more embarrassing, getting beat, being the team that gets beat by MVS deep, or letting Juju Smith-Schuster look fast against you. I
like
Juju.
30 to Juju.
But he's not a fast guy. He's a slot. Can you? Okay, this is a dangerous game.
Everything dangerous was bad. Game.
Can you call a black receiver a possession receiver?
Yeah.
We've watched enough Patriots games to know that it's a dangerous game I'm playing. But Juju's a possession guy, right?
I mean, isn't Keyshawn Johnson the ultimate possession
receiver? Oh, my God. That's a great play. That's great. Yeah.
God. So, can you imagine Keyshawn receiver?
Johnson playing in the NFL now? He would get like...
He'd be Michael Thomas. Healthy Michael Thomas.
Man, guy was slow.
15 catches for 90 yards.
And they thought he was huge back then because he weighed like 200 pounds.
Yeah.
He's a bully.
Then old David Boston came strolling in at like 270 and 6'4".
with a one green eye, one blue eye, and a boa over his shoulder. Like the snake, not the, you know.
Yeah.
He loses every shirt he's ever owned.
I don't know. Too, if I was that, him, I wouldn't even. If I was David Boston, I wouldn't even have played the game in pads back then.
No,
I just would have painted the number on my rippling, veiny, vascular, pulsating body.
Definitely performance enhanced body.
Just a little
1,000%.
It is so funny. Again, we talk about shit.
We gotta get to stuff, by the way.
But David Boston at Ohio State versus David Boston with the Dolphins is just a very hilarious Google search.
Yeah, he was like kind of like a sleek receiver, wasn't he, for Ohio State?
Enhance. Yeah, when he was going against Charles Woodson, Ohio State, Michigan, he was not 260.
No. All right. Real quick on the NFL trades, though, can you explain them to me? Kings team trades like a 3 and a 4 for Kadarius Toney. The Eagles get an all pro defensive end for like a 4.
Yeah, I don't get it. Yes, the Eagles made out great. There's no debate on that one.
No.
Yeah, I don't understand.
I don't know how this works. I thought I did. No.
Make it make sense to me, please.
Well, like the 6th round pick the Chiefs gave up was because the Bears signed some like random assistant coach in the offseason from KC. So they got a 6.
Oh, that's
and the 3 that they got was the third, some trade with like a white running back. I don't even understand. NFL trades make no sense to me. I don't get it. Draft picks, I don't get it.
Okay, so let's do the fantasy football update. Before we do that, we got to say we're not going to talk about the Blazers. We're not going to talk about how they got off to the hot start, how Dame is definitely washed and now is injured, and the team should run through Simons and Hart anyways, and Nurk is a bum. We're not going to talk about any of those things. So just, listener, deal with it, okay? We're still like a week away, maybe week and a half away from being able to talk about those things. So chill. Okay.
All right, I know it's what everyone's been waiting for. Ah, it's time to update the TSBFFL. Hey, Braga.
We can skip over this. We can skip over this entirely. We don't need to talk about it. No. Nope.
Hey, Braga, you know what Hank Stram used to say about week 7 of fantasy football?
Oh, man, my speakers. I like can't hear you talking right now. It's weird.
You know what Hank Stram used to say about week 7 of fantasy football?
Is it like the power trap? Like, gotta run up the alley. Is that it?
You can't win the league in week 7, but you sure can lose it. Hank Stram said that all the time. Well, unfortunately for me, there was a real shakeup up top as Kyler Murray once again is a major flop, and I was defeated in what I would say is a fluky manner. It's okay. And now number one, Kurt. That's not going to last. Hey, Alex, what is your fantasy football team and the 49ers have in common?
They don't score any points.
They never stood a chance last week. Charlie and Bo, I know you're listening. In 9th and 10th place, last, second to last. Look at them keeping it in the family. They're cousins, I think. Speaking of cousins, Kurt, you suck. Do it in prime time. They're fighting Dudikoffs, more like the Dudikoffs. And that was your TSB. FFL update.
Man, I
would. You know what, Dick?
Yeah,
you know what Dick Butkus used to say about week eight fantasy football? He said this in the 60s a lot.
Okay.
You can't win the league in week eight, but you sure can lose it. Buckle up, week eight, TSB, FFL, 4-3, I'm coming for 5-3. Oh. Hey, Charles, your Padres, they're done. That's your update. Hey, Bo, your Cougs, they're done. That's hey, Utah, stop exploiting the death of people from 21 months ago. It's enough.
That's your fantasy football update.
And I'm done.
And I'm done. Oh, man. I had, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4. I had 4 of my starters in fantasy get 2 points or fewer last week. That's a good, it's a good way to lose. I was under 100 points. That's a good way to lose. All right, let's do lines. Yeah, that,
you didn't give me too much of a challenge there last week.
No, I did not. No, that was a.
I'm about to take the podcast championship by knocking King off this week.
Oh, get out of here! Blasphemy.
Being, all right, lines.
Let's do lines. It. Something. So, I don't do the song. You do the song. What are you doing? No. Do the song. Sing the song.
Lines, lines everywhere, lines. From Pullman to Champagne, we're picking lines, sniffing lines. We're cutting lines.
Spencer Webb's on the 4-yard line.
Lines.
Lines.
Lines. All right. So, well, not a good week for Braga.
Again!
Boy, it's a theme.
Why is everything in my life being destroyed in front of me?
It's one of those things. You went 2-4, and it just so happens King and I each went 5-1 with our star pick as well.
Like Bill Walsh and Monica used to say, it's just one of those weeks.
Just one of those weeks. So King and I, we still reign at the top at 50 points each. You are 7 points back at 43 points.
Oh, man. Put a fucking fork in it. It's done.
So,
it's done.
The first game is currently going while we were doing this. And all three of us picked Utah -6.5.
Hey, great pick. Great pick.
Right now.
What's the score right now?
Utah up a touchdown. So, we got the cover going right now.
They had a really questionable targeting penalty against Washington State that led to that touchdown. Right. It was a handoff to a running back. And then the guy tackled him with his helmet, and they called targeting. That's not a defenseless player, so therefore that is not the rule. But they called it targeting.
So it'll be the second game here. We have USC, 15.5 points, going to Braga's Wildcats.
My cats. Not bad, yeah? It's not a bad cat.
Not bad. Not bad.
USC is my pick.
USC.
I'm trying to find a reason to take Arizona. They were on a bye last week. That's something, right? But so is USC. So that's not good. I'm taking USC.
Yeah, it would be a good thing for them if they had good coaching and good players. They don't really have those things. So,
all right, next game is Braga's other team, Sun Devils. They're 13.5 point favorites going to Boulder. Take a guess what I'm doing.
I do not own Arizona State. Absolutely not. Just because I picked them like once to win does not mean they are my team. Arizona is
I think you're the only person that has picked Arizona State between the three of us this year.
I'm picking the tough buffs.
Ooh.
They tough rise buffs. Up. Like the Falcons, they rise up.
How am I supposed to catch up, man? You're not supposed to pick Colorado. What are you doing?
Did you see the Colorado crowd against Cal? It was sold out. And they were supposed to be 0-12. Tough buffs.
So here's the Arizona State just lost to Stanford.
Yeah, they did.
Stanford.
But.
Well, Stanford's the highest the team in the conference right now.
Yes, they are.
All they do, but all the they do is win.
But the Colorado just scored 9 points against the Beavs. So go with it what you will.
Who did you pick, Ski?
What do you think? I'm star picking Arizona State.
You have to You have to say you. I know, but you have to say it out loud. I'm picking Arizona State as well.
God, I do not want to back ASU, but the rules force me to this week. All right. Next game, possibly the best matchup of the season. The hottest team ever, Stanford.
Stanford.
They're going to UCLA. UCLA 16.5-point favorites against Stanford.
Stanford, the hottest team in the nation. 2-1 their last three and -1 point in those.
They've won two straight.
I know.
Two straight to heater.
I know.
It's a heater.
Should have won.
They scored 30. They scored 31 points combined and won two games.
They won a game last week without a touchdown.
UCLA is my star pick. Eight clap.
Yeah, my Bruins star pick.
DTR was very upset last week. Like he was like very, very angry that they lost to Oregon. Like Stanford's gonna get like shit on by UCLA. It's not gonna be close.
Here's the other thing. If I don't see them scoring 17 or more,
no.
I see UCLA scoring 35 at least. I got the Bruins. I mean, the math says so there. All right.
If you weren't forced to use your star pick on the Colorado game, you'd probably use it on that one.
I would, yes. But I'm not a clown like you two. Take the easy way out with the layup game.
I picked the Buffs.
Tough Buffs.
The tough Buffs.
Right. First throw-in game. We got the Buckeyes. They're going to a whiteout at Penn State. Buckeyes, 15.5-point favorites against Penn State.
Ohio State, like, so easy. Like, Penn State sucks. Ohio State, like, easy.
Yes. Buckeyes.
Yeah. Pick them, you coward. You coward.
Ohio State plays in the Big Ten. They've seen a lot of whiteouts.
If this went
talking
to
snow.
If this went to 17.5, I would probably take Penn State. But I just can't. Ohio State will score at least 40 points.
Didn't play good last week and they scored 55 against Iowa.
Well,
who has a legit defense.
But
worst offense I've ever seen.
Of all time, possibly.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. But they did hang 54 on him. That's all right. The next throwing game, we got Kentucky. They're going to Tennessee. We're going back to King's Vols here. Tennessee, 12.5-point favorite.
Can I change my star pick?
Yeah, you definitely can.
Vols. Yeah. Hendon Hooker. You know, it's been around for a while. He's been playing since Pretty Woman came out.
So are you saying he's an old hooker?
I'm just saying he's an aged.
He's an aged hooker?
An aged worker.
Did you say you're taking
Vol
Tennessee?
Star pick, yeah.
I think Kentucky is going to get the points. That is my pick. Tennessee still wins.
I am going to say Kentucky wins this game.
Oh, what a clown. Look at this guy.
This is the biggest
big
look ahead week.
Propaganda.
Biggest look ahead week I've ever seen. They travel to Georgia next week. They just played Bama. They don't give a shit about Kentucky this week. They think they're going to walk right through them.
I mean, technically, they played Tennessee Martin last week.
Oh, Do we count those games?
Well, that's brilliant scheduling. That was their look-ahead week.
They gave up 24 to Tennessee Martin.
I'm sure they did. I watched that one under a microscope.
Looking ahead to Kentucky. Isn't Kentucky ranked?
Yeah, 19.
Yeah. Kentucky's pretty good.
Yeah, their quarterback eats the banana peel and puts mayonnaise in his coffee. Yeah, Will Levis, get out of here.
I mean, I don't necessarily agree with your take against the mayonnaise and the coffee, but, you know, whatever.
Oh, my hateful. God.
I'm just kidding. Yes. You know what I've started doing recently with my morning coffee? I started using whole milk.
Oh, buddy.
I had been doing half and half for the longest time. And I have like a latte maker so I can like froth the milk and everything. And I'm like, you know what? What the fuck am I not doing whole milk? Like, this is, let's make it as bomb as I can possibly make it. Like places you buy it from where they make you a latte, they use whole milk. Fucking use whole milk.
Yeah.
So good. Life changing.
Seen the light.
All right. Last game, Ducks. They're 17.5-point favorites going to Cal.
I am going to take the Ducks, even though Cal makes every game the worst game you've ever seen. But I'm picking the Ducks because I feel like some of this like grossness in my brain is Mario Cristobal offensive stuff.
Yep.
Where he played into Wilcox. So I will take the Ducks.
Again, it's the mindset thing that I was talking about earlier when we were talking about Oregon and UCLA. It's not allowing us to believe in this Oregon team. It's because we're so programmed into being like, okay, Oregon's going to score 25 and they're going to sit on the ball the rest of the game. And it doesn't matter if they have the better players, they're going to run the ball up the middle the whole game and just blah, 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 slog it out and get a win or whatever.
I threw shatter on top of flour last year for bong rips to make the Cal-Oregon second half tolerable. Literally, I've never been as high as that in my life. It was awful. It was atrocious.
Yeah,
and it was still better than Mario versus Wilcox.
That sounds truly terrible.
It was awful.
Yeah, I pick Oregon too. Like this has Arizona written all over it, doesn't it? Like the Arizona game where it's like you go into it and you're like, yeah, they could play them tough here and there. They could do this to stay with Oregon. They're not fucking staying with Oregon. No fucking way they stay with Oregon. What would make anybody think Cal could stick close to Oregon? Cal's not good. Oregon's really good.
So I'm taking the Ducks as well. Cal lost to Notre Dame and Colorado. Two of the top 10 worst teams in the country.
Yes.
If it wasn't for that Arizona game that they won, they scored 49 points. They've scored over 21 one other time.
Yeah, they had one game where their running back ran for 300 yards. And other than that, they have been bad because they are bad.
The Ducks have scored over 40 points in every game outside that Georgia game. So the math says they should cover this easily. But
and they are the only team.
They are the Tampa Bay Rays. They are the Miami Heat. Every game, no matter if it's a good team or a bad team, is going to be a sloggy mud fest. That's just how they play. That's the only way they can win.
That used to be the case, but Kenny Dillingham fucking runs the show. He dictates shit this year. Like it doesn't matter what the other team does. Like Oregon's offense is fucking elite right now, and they're playing incredible. I don't see it. By the way, Oregon over 300 yards against Georgia. Nobody else has done that this year. So I'm just saying. They've moved the ball against every single team they've played.
Yes.
Easily.
They even had yards against Georgia. They just didn't have the points.
That's what I'm saying. They had the most yards against Georgia this year by any team. So
Can I give one? Is that the last pick, Ski?
Yes, that is it.
Can I give one bonus pick?
Oh, bonus game? You want to throw one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wow. All right, what do we got?
Iowa Northwestern.
Oh, God, no. Just kill me.
Iowa's a 12-point favorite, but that's not what I care about. The over under 36.5.
Under.
Me too.
I will take an alt under of 24 points. This has 13-10 written all over it.
I'm going to go with the under, but I can't go that low because Northwestern is like 100 and like they're second to last in turnovers. Like they turned over a ton. So Iowa's going to, they're going to get like an easy 10 points that skews it.
Oh, here's a quick. I've got a better one. Is there an offensive touchdown scored in this game?
I'll say there's two.
Oh God.
One's on a short field.
Wow. Like after a muffed punt, somebody
there will
somebody scores a
there will not be a single 75 yard drive in this game. There might be for seven, but not for seven.
Is this a ski sanctioned line, or are we just saying?
No, this is an unsanctioned. Booble, okay. if you want to throw it in there as a little fuck you, you can, but. I mean, only
if it helps me at the end of the season.
I'm just saying, if in a game where the over-under is 36.5 and a team is a 12-point favorite, like, oh my God, that is gruesome.
Are you taking the over then, Braga, just to try to get some points?
36.5? Sure. Yeah, I'll take the over, sure. I was about to go off, dog.
Well, they might got to pray for like 3 defensive touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, it's my weekly prayer for Northwestern football anyway, so I'll add in the Iowa game for sure.
Just add it in there.
Yeah. All right, let's do some trivia. They are playing Cal, so it's Cal trivia. Go figure. It's weird. I ask somebody a question. They have a chance to answer the question. If they miss it, then the other person gets a multiple choice chance to answer the question. First 1 to 5 wins. There are 10 questions. If we reach 10 questions and nobody gets 5, it's whoever has the most, whatever. Who starts this week? Who won last week?
I think Ski won.
I think I'm on a little bit of a heater here.
Ski on a tear. I stopped keeping track of like the overall score. Booble, if you could help me out with that one too, that'd be great. Just fucking with it. All right. So let's start this off with Ski then. Cal has had many good running backs in their history, but only one of them has rushed for 2,000 yards in a season. It happened in 2004. Who was it?
2004? Let's see. Breen. Forsett, they were later. Marshawn was right around there. I'll say... I'll say Marshawn.
That is the incorrect answer. Your options, King. Marshawn Lynch, J.J. Arrington, or Justin Forsett?
Ooh, ooh. In the words of E-40, ooh. I'm going to go J.J. Arrington.
The answer is J.J. Arrington. Nice guess. All right, King. Alumni time early on. It is my favorite part. A few lead singers graduated from Berkeley over the years, including the bands The Counting Crows and The Bangles. Also, the lead singer of Primus. Who is that?
I totally know the name. Oh, my goodness. Primus. I'll know it when I hear it.
Okay. Do you know Ski?
No.
Okay, your option, Ski. Trent Reznor, Les Claypool, or Scott Stapp?
You gotta get this.
It's the second guy, just by process of elimination, right?
Yes.
Yes. Trent Reznor's nine. I don't even know the name you said of him. It's not Trent Reznor. So it's not option, Scott Stapp. So
Reznor, when you are with
so,
me.
So Les Claypool then.
Les Claypool, yes.
Les Claypool is the answer to the question.
And that's not because I knew who he was. I just eliminated the other two. Yes.
Well, big Scott Creed Stapp fan. Yeah. Big yeah. Creed guy over here.
I believe.
It's Creed and Nin.
Creed and Nin. Oh, boy. So let's see. This goes to.
I was scared of kids who wore Nin patches in high school.
A little bit. They were a type.
Yeah.
Nine Inch Nails, Tool.
Tool guy was a type of person. 1000%. All right, so Ski, this actress is best known for being in a family of actors and country music stars. Also famous for being an actor herself and a very loud Democrat. She helped on the 2008 Obama campaign, has starred in the movies Heat, Double Jeopardy, and Kiss the Girls. Who is she?
Ashley Judd.
Ashley Judd is the answer to the question.
She went to Cal?
She did. She went to Berkeley. Yep.
Why is she always at Kentucky games?
Yeah, right?
I don't know. It's a good question. Maybe got her master's at Kentucky or something?
Yeah, I'm sure.
She's listed on the Wikipedia. I don't really give a shit. That's all that matters. all right. This goes to King now. Cal has had 2 number one overall picks in their history. Steve Bartkowski in 75 to the Falcons. And who else?
Christ. I don't know.
The other Cal number one overall pick in the NFL draft.
Not a clue.
Your option, Ski. Jared Goff, Cameron Jordan, or Tony Gonzalez?
There's no way a tight end went one.
It's a different era, man.
Goff.
The answer is Jared Goff, yes. Jared Goff was the number one.
Usually safe to take the quarterback.
Yep. Yep.
Yep. Should have known that. Small hands, hard knocks. Didn't know if the sun rose in the east or the west. Yeah.
I mean, more important, Jeff Fisher in charge at the time. So he's going to draft Jared Goff. Yeah, makes sense. All right. So this one goes to Ski. Ski has a 3-1 lead now. The 2007 Cal and Oregon game will go down in infamy as the game Cam Colvin fumbled through the end zone to lose the game. Cal was led in receiving that day by DeSean Jackson, who dominated Jarris Bird for 11 catches, 161 yards, and 2 scores. Jarris Bird ended up being an NFL Pro Bowler, by the way. DeSean Jackson, pretty good. Who threw DeSean Jackson the ball that day? Who is Cal's
What is his name? Who is that terrible guy that played like 4 years? Oh.
I know who you're thinking of. It's not that person.
It's not that person? Oh, you... I know, I'm going to say the last name of a quarterback. I don't know his first name. Riley.
Nate Longshore.
It is Nate Longshore.
He drinks Zima.
Yep. Oh. Longshore drinks Zima, baby. One of the best signs in the history of Autzen Stadium. Hey, what was that one you posted, King? Like, you saw a picture, I forget. It was very funny. I remember laughing at it. From the UCLA game. You took a picture.
Oh, it was, we wanted Bama, not Georgia.
That's right. Quality work. By the way, student section looking good this year. Proud
Absolutely.
Of you.
What's the name of the Cal quarterback, his first name I was thinking of?
Right? Kevin Riley.
Kevin Riley.
Kevin Riley.
From Beaverton. God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck.
The other option was Joe Ayoub.
Joe Ayoub. Remember him too.
Yep. Yeah. All right, King. Next question. Who is Cal's all-time winningest head coach?
Oh God. It's I'll say Jeff Tedford, but someone's probably gonna hit me with like Pop Warner.
The answer is Jeff Tedford.
Okay, all right.
Nicely done. It's not Pappy Waldorf.
Yeah, of course.
The usual suspects. All right, Ski. Cal Stadium is formerly known as California Memorial Stadium. Its field is now known as FTX Field. I don't know what FTX is, but it's the Bay Area, so it's probably a...
Crypto.
Yeah, sure. What is the unofficial name of the hilly area next to the stadium where people can pull up a chair and watch a free football game?
Oh, what's that stupid hill called? I don't know, probably like Hooker's Hill. That'd be a good name for it.
I'm sure there have been hookers up there, but no, it's not Hooker's Hill. All right, your options, King. Tightwad Hill, Cheapskate Hill, or Strawberry Hill?
Ooh, that last question was a little trick because they play in Strawberry Canyon, but it's Tightwad Hill.
It is Tightwad Hill, yes. Yeah, you like that? All right.
That was good.
So you got four now. If you get this next one, you are the winner. Cal plays Stanford every year in the big game. What is the name of the trophy given to the winner?
Is it just the axe?
It is not.
Oh!
Your options, Ski, and you're going to get this. The axe, the lumberjack trophy, or the Stanford axe?
Why would they wouldn't just name Stanford axe, would they? Why would they do that?
Stanford!
So I'll say the lumberjack.
It is the Stanford axe.
What?
It seems a little weird, right?
Yes.
Seems a little weird. All right, Ski. Who is Cal's all-time leader in total yards of offense and total touchdowns?
Goff. Didn't he throw for a billion yards?
The answer is Jared Goff. Nicely done. All right, so you each have four, and this is the last question. So one of you better get it right. It goes to King. Who is Cal's all-time leader in catches with 205?
Damian Douglas.
Is that a real person?
I just remember he played a game at Parker Stadium and caught a million balls. Other than that, wide receivers, DeSean Jackson is the only one I know.
Okay, that is not the answer. I want
to guess it without it because it'll be true. It'll be fair, and I think I know the answer.
Okay,
Keenan Allen.
Keenan Allen is the answer, Ski. Nicely done. That's how you win. That's how you win. Stomp on the throat of your opponent. Nice work. All right, shall we do our list? Ski, by the way, continuing his run of dominating trivia.
I'm just saying
those actresses and movie ones. I just get some freebies in there to
keep me
in there.
Yes, these have been. Yeah, I'm just saying many people have been floating me, you know, anecdotes.
Not me.
And
I
texts.
Would never say it, but many.
They're
people
just
are saying,
many people are saying that some of these trivia seem a little skewed against me. It's all I'm saying.
I'm just saying.
I'm not saying. Stop the count. I'm not
saying
go to the Capitol.
We need to stop the count. I'm not saying this, but a lot of people who are
other people are.
They're saying
other people are.
You need to stop the count is what they're telling me all the time. Let's do our list. Let's move on. I don't want to dwell on it.
Getting railroaded over here.
Was this your list idea? I forget.
Yes.
It was Kings.
Okay. What's our
Cal
list
week? Idea? Top three cows.
Top three cows. I'll start. My number three, Calabasas, California.
Home of Kanye West.
Yeah, the home of Kanye, the home of Justin Bieber, the home of the Kardashians, the home of Drake, Kevin Hart, Sylvester Stallone, J-Lo, and the reason I put it number three on my list, the Queen, Miley Cyrus. Oh, we're just going to act like we ain't loving Miley Cyrus. Okay, fine.
I don't know what this. I don't think
top
this is a
three
Miley
Cyrus
Stan
songs.
Podcast.
This is a Miley podcast.
Top three Miley Cyrus songs.
That's it. That's all
it's
I need.
It's a party in the USA.
That's all I need. Come on, Ski. What's your favorite Miley song, Ski?
You named the two. Only two I know. That's it.
I call absolute bullshit. There is no way your girlfriend doesn't listen to Miley Cyrus. I call bullshit.
The number one Miley Cyrus song, Malibu.
What song is that?
Farts. Fart sound. Farts are always funny.
I'll go. My number three, Cal. With the best presidential slogan, stay cool with Coolidge, Calvin Coolidge.
Stay cool with Coolidge.
Stay cool with Coolidge.
Love it. Love
my
it.
Number three was also John Calvin Coolidge.
Wow, so it's not a Miley podcast, but it is a Calvin Coolidge stan podcast.
30th president.
Love it. Love it. That's great. All right, my number two is the Calabrese salami. I don't know if that's even how you pronounce it, but...
Calabrese.
Salami's great. When I was a child, my mom used to buy like the like rolls of salami, and I would eat them. I would take bites out of them like it's an apple. It's so fucking
please
good.
Don't do that motion again.
Sorry about that, my bad. It's yeah, eat me. Yeah, if we ever move to Twitch, that's going to be a problem. We're going to get banned.
Love salami.
Picked up two Twitch followers, by the way.
Heyo,
look at that. I know one of them listens to the podcast. I'm not sure about the other one. I know who both of them are, though.
Eating just a stick of salami, that's very like Tony Soprano, you know, eating some like gabagool.
Yeah, you're either a soprano or you are like a 10-year-old.
Yeah,
that doesn't matter. That's what I was, eating entire bags of chips in one sitting, eating like a salami. Yeah, all lots right, of that. Lots of that. Imagine if you do it now. God.
Oh.
Just explosions.
All right. My number two Calvin Brodus. Also known as Snoop Dogg.
Very nice.
My number two Brewers pitcher when they were in the American League. Cal Eldred.
Good old Cal Eldred.
All right. By the way, we are a podcast that stands Snoop Lion. Not so much Snoop Dogg, but Snoop Lion.
We're a Snoop Lion.
Yeah, we're a Snoop Lion podcast. My number one is Calvin from Calvin and Hobbes. It's an easy choice for me. That's it.
All right, my number one is Calvin Candy.
That feels a little racist.
It is very racist. He is very racist. But it is Leo's best character he's ever played.
Oh, Calvin. Okay, I was trying to remember who the hell Calvin Candy was. I didn't remember his character's name in Django.
I think that's his best acting he's done.
Yeah, so you're saying you identify character with that character, which is why he's your number one, Ski? That's interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
My number one Cal. Does everyone can relate to this?
He stands owning.
No, I'm trying to move away from the racism. Okay, no, erase hate. Yeah, you know. My number one Cal. Cal O'Reese.
Yeah, what does Oprah have against Cal O'Reese? Come on, Oprah. Back off. Cal O'Reese, fuck off. It's a good list. It's a good list. All right,
I'm just
going to
hit this sound just because it says waffle falling over.
On point. It was on point.
That's fucking what it is.
I don't know why I expected more from waffle falling over than.
That is what that sound is.
That person probably made like $10,000 off that.
Yeah.
Somehow.
That's their job, is making sounds to put into an app.
Hey, when Big Dick Dan comes out and takes out the orca in his pants.
That's great. By the way, people, the Twitch is ABRAWG87, ABROG87. So I can pull up Twitch on my phone. I can cast from that. We can probably do it from the computer. I just got to figure that out, how to do it together. I would like to work on that and see if we can get that to work. But I want people to be there to do it too. So, by the way, do it too, as in like you're going to be tortured with it and suffer.
Hey,
so.
Hey, philosophical question. If a waffle falls in the woods and no one hears it, does it happen?
Luckily, we don't have that problem. We can always hear it.
You got to put that into your like hot bar there to have easy access to that
waffle falling over.
God damn it!
That's a pretty good representation of the podcast right there.
That's it. That's us.